The fourth Sunday in Lent, The Right Use of Lent, Forgiveness of Injuries, by St. John Chrysostom. At length the season is verging towards the end of the fast, and therefore we ought the more earnestly to devote ourselves to holiness. For as in the case of those who run a race, all their circuits will be of no avail if they fall short of the prize, so neither will any advantage result from these manifold labors and toils with regard to the fast, if we are not able to enjoy the sacred table with a good conscience. For this end are fasting and Lent appointed, and so many days of solemn assemblies, adjutories, prayers, and teaching, in order that by this earnestness, being cleansed in every possible way from the sins which we had contracted during the whole year, we may with spiritual boldness religiously partake of that unbloody sacrifice, so that, should this not be the result, we shall have sustained so much labor entirely in vain and without any profit. Let every one therefore consider with himself what defect he hath corrected, what good work he hath attained to, what sin he hath cast off, what stain he hath purged away, wherein he hath become better. And should he discover that in this good traffic he hath made any gain by the fast, and by conscious in himself of much care taken of his wounds, let him draw near. But if he hath remained in neglect, having nothing to show but mere fasting, and hath done nothing which is right besides, let him remain without, and then let him enter when he hath purged out all these offences. Let no one rest on them fast merely, whilst remaining unreformed from evil practices. For it is probable that he who omits fasting may obtain pardon, having infirmity of body to plead, but it is impossible that he can have one excuse who hath not amended his faults. Thou hast not fasted, it may be, on account of bodily weakness. Tell me, what reason thou art not reconciled to thine enemies? Hast thou indeed here to allege bodily infirmity? Again, if thou retainest envy and hatred, what apology hast thou then, I ask? For no one in offences of this kind is able to take refuge in the plea of bodily infirmity. And this was a work of Christ's love towards man, i.e., that the chief of the precepts, and those which maintain our life, should not be susceptible of any kind of interference through the weakness of the body. But since we need to practice all the divine laws alike, and more especially that which bids us consider no man as an enemy, nor retain resentment long, but forthwith to be reconciled, suffer us today to discourse to you concerning this commandment. For, as it is not imagined that the fornicator and the blasphemer can take of the sacred table, so it is impossible that he who hath an enemy and bears malice can enjoy the Holy Communion. How canst thou ask the Lord to be mild and merciful to thee when thou art hard and unforgiving to thy fellow servant? But thy fellow servant hath treated thee in contempt, perhaps. Yes, and thou hast treated God with contempt oftentimes. And what comparison is there between a fellow servant and the Lord? As to the former, when he was perchance in some way injured, he insulted thee, and thou wast exasperated. But thou insultest the Lord, when thou art neither treated with injustice nor ill will by him, but receiving blessings of him each day. Consider then, if God chose to search out rigorously what is done against him, we should not live a single day. For the prophet saith, If thou wilt be extreme to mark iniquity, O Lord, who shall stand? And to pass by all those other things of which the conscience of every sinner is aware, and which have no human witness but God only, were we be to be called to account for those which are open and omitted, what allowance could we expect for such sins? What if a close examination were made into our listlessness and negligence in our prayers? How that while standing before God and supplicating him, we do not exhibit even so much fear and reverence for him as servants do towards their masters, as soldiers do towards their officers, as friends do towards friends? When thou discoursest with a friend, thou givest heed to what thou art doing, but when waiting on God on account of thy sins, and asking pardon for so many offences, and thinking that thou shalt obtain forgiveness, thou art often listless. And while thy knees are on the ground, thou sufferest thy mind to wander everywhere, in the market or in the house, babbling the while with thy mouth vainly and to no purpose. And this we allow to be so, not once or twice, but frequently. Did God then choose rigorously to search into this alone? Do you think that we could obtain pardon, or be able to advance any excuse? Truly, I think not. But what if the evil speakings which we unkindly utter every day one against another were brought forward against us, as well as the rash judgment with which we condemn our neighbor, and that for no reason, but because we are fond of blaming and of given to find fault? What, I say, should we be able to allege in defense? Again, should he rigorously examine those roving glances of ours, and those evil desires that we carry in the mind, so frequently admitting impure and disgraceful thoughts? What punishment must we not sustain? And should he demand a reason for our revelings? For he saith, whosoever shall say to his brother, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. How could we forsooth open our mouths and move our lips at all, or say anything great or small in reply? Moreover, as to the vainglorious feelings we allow in our prayers, our fastings, our almsgivings, were we to search rigorously into them, I do not say, were God, but we ourselves, who are the sinners, to do this, should we be able to lift up our eyes towards heaven? Then, as to the deceits which we devise one against another, praising a brother now whilst he is present, and discoursing as with a friend, and when he is absent, reviling him, can we endure the punishments of all these? Then, what of the oaths? Of what of the lying? What of the perjuries? What of the unjust anger, and of the envy which we too often regard men when honored, who are not enemies, but friends? Furthermore, what of the fact that we are pleased when others suffer evil, and on account of the misfortunes of others, a consolation for our own distress? But suppose the penalties were exacted for our listlessness in our solemn assemblies. Do not suppose that this offense is a small one. Yet God is thus treated by us with great contempt, and is still forbearing and long-suffering, not in regard to this alone, but to other things which are far more grievous. For these things are what must be admitted, and what are obvious to all, and by almost all men they are daringly practiced. But there are yet others, which the conscience of those who commit them is privy to. Surely, if we were to think of all this, if we were to reason with ourselves, supposing even that we insensible and obdurate in the worst degree, yet upon taking a survey of the multitude of our sins, we should very fear and agony be unable to remember the injury done by others towards themselves. Bear in mind the river of fire, the envenomed worm, the fearful judgment, where all things shall be naked and open. Reflect that thou art now hidden things are then to be brought to light. But shouldest thou pardon thy neighbor, all these sins which till then await their discourse are done away with here, and thou wilt depart this life, dragging after thee none of that chain of transgressions, so that thou receivest greater things than thou givest. For many such transgressions, indeed, we have often committed, which no other person knoweth. And when we think on that day when our sins shall lie exposed to the eyes of all upon the public theater of the universe, we are in pain beyond any punishment, whilst choked and strangled by our conscience. Yet the shame, great as it is, these sins, these punishments, great as they are, there is a possibility of purging away through forgiveness exercised towards our neighbor. God continually exhorts us, saying, let none of you revengefully imagine evil against his brother in your heart, and let none of you think of his neighbor's malice. It is not said merely forego wrath, but retain it not in thy mind. Think not on it. Part with all thy resentment. Do away the sore, for thou supposest that thou art paying him back the injury. But thou art first tormenting thyself, and setting up thy rage as an executioner within thee in every part, tearing up thine own bounds. For what can be more wretched than a man continually provoked? Rejoiceth not, the wise man saith, when thy enemy stumbleth. And tell me not of the greatness of the injuries received, for it is not this which maketh thy wrath to be retained, but this, that thou art mindful of thine own offences, that thou hast not before in thine eyes either hell or the fear of God. Neither infirmity of body, nor poverty, nor unlettered ignorance, nor want of leisure, nor any other thing of that kind hast thou to advance. How wilt thou be able to stretch thine hand towards heaven, or how to move thy tongue, or to ask pardon? For although God be desirous to pardon thy sins, thou thyself dost not suffer him, whilst thou retainest that of thy fellow servant. But suppose that he is cruel, fierce, and savage, and greedy of revenge and retaliation. Why, for this reason thou oughtest especially to grant forgiveness. Hast thou been wronged much, and robbed, and slandered, and injured in matters of first importance? And dost thou wish to see thine enemy punished? Yet, if thou thyself takest vengeance, and prosecutest it, either by words or by deeds, or imprecation against the adversary, then God will not afterwards prosecute it too, inasmuch as thou hast taken thy revenge. And not only will he not prosecute the matter for thee, but will also demand a penalty of thee, as a despiser of himself. Hath thy neighbor wronged and grieved thee, and involved thee in 1,000 ills? Be it so, yet do not prosecute vengeance on thine own part, lest thou be treating thy Lord with contempt. Yield the matter to God, and he will dispose of it much better than thou canst desire. To thee he hath given charge simply to pray for the injurer. But how to deal with him, he hath ordered thee to leave to himself. Neither canst thou so avenge thyself, as he is prepared to avenge thee, if thou givest place to him alone. Lo, I forewarn and testify and proclaim this with a voice that all may hear. Let no one who hath an enemy approach the sacred table, or receive the Lord's body. Let no one approaching have an enemy. Hast thou an enemy? Approach not. Wilt thou approach? Be reconciled, and then approach, and touch the holy thing. Nor indeed is this my declaration. Rather, it is that of the Lord himself, who was crucified for us, that he might reconcile thee to the Father. He refused not to be slaughtered, and to shed his blood. And art thou unwilling to utter a word, or to make the first advance, that thou mayest be reconciled to thy fellow servant? Hear what the Lord saith, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, he does not say, wait for him to come to thee, nor speak with another as a mediator, but do thou thyself make the advance towards him. We are commanded to have only one enemy, the devil. With him never be thou reconciled. But with a brother, never have a heart at enmity. For when thou sayest, forgive us as we forgive, and afterwards dost not forgive, thou art supplicating of God nothing else than that would entirely deprive thee of all excuse of or indulgence. No one so truly pollutes the holy feast as he does, who while he is keeping it, cherishes malignity. Where there is strife and enmity, there can be neither fast nor festival. Thou wouldest not dare to touch the holy sacrifice with unwashed hands. Approach not then with an unwashed soul, for this is far more than the other, and brings a heavier punishment. Nothing so fills the mind with impurity as anger remaining constantly within it. The spirit of meekness hovers not where wrath or passion exists, and when a man is destitute of the Holy Spirit, what hope of salvation shall he have, and how shall he walk upright? Had it been an evil thing to suffer wrong, God would have not enjoined it upon us. Know ye not that he is the King of glory? And therefore he commands us to suffer wrong, and doth all to withdraw us from worldly things, and to convince us what is glory, and what shame, and what loss, and what gain. Say you, I have been shamefully used, and do you exhort me to bear it meekly? How shall I be able? Nay, but it is most easy, if thou wilt look up unto heaven, if thou wilt behold the beauty that is in sight, if whither God hath promised to receive thee, if thou bear wrong nobly. Do this then, and looking up into the heaven, thinking that thou art made like unto him that sitteth there upon the cherubim, for he as also was, as at this time, injured and bore it. He was reproached and avenged not himself, and was spit upon, yet he asserted not his cause. Nay, he made return, in the contrary kind, to those who did such things, even in benefits without numbers, and he hath commanded us to be imitators of him. Wouldest thou desire to know, in earnest, how great are the blessings which await thee? He openeth for thee the whole heaven. He maketh thee a fellow citizen with the saints. He fits thee to bear a part in the choir. From sins he absolveth, with righteousness he crowneth. For if such as forgive offenders shall obtain forgiveness, those who not only forgive, but who also give largely to boot, what blessings shall they not inherit? Therefore, pray for him that injured thee. It is not for thyself that thou dost this. Hath he taken thy money? Well, he took thy sins too, which was the cause of Naaman and Gehazi. For how much wealth wouldst thou not give to have thine iniquities forgiven thee? This, believe me, is the case now. For if thou endure nobly and curse not, thou hast bound on thee a glorious crown. It is not my word, but thou hast heard Christ speaking. Pray for those who despitefully use you, and consider the reward how great, that ye may be like your Father which is in the heavens. Let us not then be negligent of what is our life, but let us be in earnest, and do everything in order that we may be without an enemy to present ourselves at the sacred table. For nothing, I repeat, of what God commands will be difficult if we give heed.